Dear brothers and sisters, yesterday's talk, it was on spirituality, what it is. It was explained that it is no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism, and no mesmerism. Moreover, it is no, what should I say, isms of any religion, outer forms. So it was God is spirit. We concluded that God is spirit, and we are spirit in man. As God is eternal, we are also eternal. So spirituality is only to know oneself by rising above body consciousness and by self-analysis and to know God. This is purely a subject of self-analysis. So you see the teachers are required in all cases of pursuits, inner or outer, who are adept in those subjects. Even when the child is born, his teachers are his parents, his brothers, his sisters. When they go to school, they've got their teachers there. When they take up any outer subject, we need the guidance of somebody who is adept in that subject. Take the case of cooking. The cookbook is there, with gives details of how vegetables are cooked. We need the practical guidance of some cook. In his guidance, we become also good cooks. Take the example of aeroplane. Their books are written how the several parts of the aeroplane are, how to assemble them, and how to work on them. By reading only books, you won't be able to do it. But you know even not the what parts are meant for what purpose. There also you need somebody who knows what its aeroplane is, what different parts are meant for what purpose. And then you are trained under this guidance, you have to rise up into the atmosphere. I have, last time you were traveling, 35,000 feet high. So can you give that plane in the hand of somebody, new one? Or can you do it? Know yourself how the aeroplane works, how to rise, go up, how to descend. So this is something practical. Similarly, the spirituality is a practical subject. We have got scriptures in us. What do they contain? They contain the statements of those who rose above body consciousness, traversed into the beyond. They had different experiences of different kinds. They contain all experiences they had of all masters whenever they came. And this is by reading scriptures only, can you know how to rise above body consciousness? That is only a physical thing. Here we have got macrocosm and the microcosm. We have got physical body, how we can rise above physical body, how we can traverse into the astral plane and further to the causal plane, how to transcend all planes. Do you think only by reading scriptures you become an adept in that? That is rising into heavens outside, and that is rising into the beyond. So you find, say, we need somebody. When we need teachers in all outer subjects, do we not need anyone's guidance, which is a subject When you rise above body consciousness, first of all, you see how to rise above body consciousness. Yogis have spent hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness. Is there some adept like that who can give you a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness? And even not, that is not only. You know that much also is that solution. Maharana Rum says is a more dangerous inside rather than outside. Take somebody who has been to that place. He says that if you want to pay a visit to the place of pilgrimage, it is always better to take some guide with you who may have been to that place of pilgrimage. Who that may be, he says he may be a Hindu. He may be Arab. Anyone. So in the spiritual way we do need somebody which should be able to give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness. First thing. Then how to tell us in, you know, which way to follow. Here in outer world you see if you lose one road, you have to go round and round and cannot come to the right place. So my purpose is, all scriptures say, there is need of somebody. These all scriptures which are with us, what do they contain? Only one reading? Can by reading alone you can have that experience what is given in the scriptures? So without two guides, call by any name like now. And without, did you see the driver is there and motor is there, I mean the, what, the patrol is not there? No? So both ways require. What is way back to actually God? God when He wanted to be managed, there was vibration. The vibration resulted in two things, light and sound. So if you have a ray of the sun, if you catch it and ride on it, that will take you where? To the place from where it emanated, to the Absolute God. So proper guidance also required it, of course. But there's something to ride on which can take it to that ultimate goal. So Master tells us, unless you have some guidance, of the adept who traverses into the beyond, his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with that power working through him. He appears to be engaged in all outer pursuits, but wherever he wants, he rises above body, conscious and traverses into the beyond at his own will and pleasure. This is what is called by the masters to be reborn. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. So first step is how to rise above body consciousness. We have identified with the body. So there are methods and methods which involve pranas and outer faculty and sometimes intellect by drug influences. But only you have got a practical demonstration by somebody who is adept that way, then you know how to rise above body consciousness. So we do need, Guru Nanak says, you may be reading for years and years, months and days, all through life, unless you know how to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God. What is use of the one? Tulsi says, you may have read the four Vedas, 18 Puranas, 9 Vyakarans, and 6 Shastras. You may be reading day and night and taking on that, giving very wonderful lectures on that. Could you know who you are? Your attention. Your drop of all attention was gone. And unless you know yourself, withdraw yourself from the body in outward environments, and you are brought in contact with the God into special power, which is called Shabda, Nama, or world, which has two aspects, light and sound. So it is just reading all these books, just parrot-like, go on repeating. Of course, this has some value. These are good actions meant for God. But seeing is something else, reading is something. Reading only can create in you an interest. We should go and see. So mere reading alone won't help you. So this is the way to fool those who are innocent. You may be intellectually very much, having all degrees of the world. I submit to you, when I was at Lahore, under me one Christian superintendent working under me, he was a librarian of the Lahore church, whose bishop was considered to be the highest in all, and most advanced in all India. I asked the superintendent, go and ask him what this bell ringing stands for. And what did he reply? It is only to call men together. Well, in churches you go like that, but in temples you go, the man who had to heal him, he comes. So learned man is not supposed to know everything. This is something of the beyond. Outer learning can help us to a certain extent to understand certain things. To a certain extent, not all. But it is a cycle where the world's last is there, there the religion starts. Religion means leaving back, leaving to mind. How to first withdraw ourselves from the body outside and environments and know ourselves, and then come in contact with the God infiltration power. So this is what is called spirituality or religion, what you say. Social bodies are different from that. So we are fine, you see, in Matthew, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. What does that mean? Apparently, O Lord, I am thankful, very grateful to you that you have kept this great wisdom away from the worldly wise and intellectual people and revealed the secret only to those who are innocent as it is. That is why Christ said, suffer little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom. So we have to innocent, become innocent first. With love for all, with enmity to nobody. So for that all masters say, without a guide, true guide within you cannot have any access whatsoever. Guru Nanak says, which has been made it, was a mandate from God, unless you meet someone who is the master of this, who is world made flesh, you cannot reach in and you cannot be have salvation. Then, well, all of your people, then don't be in this delusion that you will go of your own self. So Master, when they come with it. And saying, all right, who want going back to home, let them come up. Who speaks that the God is in him? So all the scriptures, whether the East or the West, when you go into it, they all say, we need somebody to teach us. The very step, how to withdraw from outside. Yogis have taken hundreds of years to rise above physical body. And if somebody, with God's grace, comes up and gives you a demonstration of how to rise above body in little or no time, then what more do you want? But it is said it is a great blessing to have a living master. That is why you see, come unto me all that ye labor, Christ said. When they come, they say, come unto me. Because they speak on the strength of God in them. They don't speak of themselves. They speak as inspired by God. They are quite conscious co-worker of the divine plan. and freely, and our heavenly laden, and I will give thee rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when all masters who come, they are world made flesh, they give out the same thing to the people who meet them in their lifetime. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And he that seeth me, him that sent me. So I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As I quoted you before from these so many, all shapes, common things. Guru word means who can remove the darkness from before your eyes and light is manifest. When God wanted to have you work on creation, then there was light. And that light is in each one of us. That's why I said, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. Master comes saying, Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. So it is a feat of our attention, you see. Training of the attention. You are attention. It is you who unlimited the world. It is you when your attention outside the world is before you. When you will die, there is no one. So great is man, you see. So masters have been coming from time to time. And you must say, those who have had the man body and not met the two masters, even if he has met the two masters and he is not living up to his commandments, and what it is, then he says, they are as if they have never born. They have not derived the full benefit from the man body. Munne Chamali went to his master. He says, I have wasted all my life in doing outward things and not God. To God, when I only had it when I met my master. So before meeting a master, all our life is as if it were lost. So for that reason, you see, it is necessary we need somebody who is expert on the way. So now we want to see what is a master. Master is, you see, Guru Nanak was asked, who is your master? He said, Shabad is my guru, master. And my soot, my attention is his disciple. What the word Shabd means? God is a Shabd. When it came into expression, it is called Shabd. And Shabdi is the God into expression power, which is the maker of all universe, controller of the universe, of all universe, and permeating all universe. So God is worldless. When it came into being, it is called world. In the beginning was the world. World was with God, and world was God. And all creation came into being after the world. And what is master? World made flesh. God is nameless. When it came into expression, he called Nam. And Nam is the creator of all universe, that resides in all. He resides in the very man body. We can see when we rise up to that level. He is the subtlest of the subtlest. If we rise up to that level, our eyes will open, we will see him. Kabir was asked, who is your master, guru? And where are you? He said, my guru is above the eye level. And I am in the body. So guru brought my attention, my thought into contact with God at His presence. Now I am always with Him and He is in me. Exactly the same words given in other languages to show what they feel. So Bible says, word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I am quoting you parallel things only to bring home that the basic teachings of all masters have been changed, whether the East or the West. In the sixth scriptures he said that word does manifest in the human body in this Godly Guru. He says that way, he says that. Tell Guru was asked, who is your Guru? He says, who was in the beginning, who is now, and who live forever even beyond, he is my Guru. So in which he is manifest, he resides in every heart, but somewhere he is manifest. The manifest of God in man is the Guru. We respect the body in which that is manifested, because on account of his guidance, as he gave me some examples of the aeroplane and other things, he tells us how to rise above body consciousness, how you are there to enliven your outer faculties with which you work. And you know yourself by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, how to rise above, and you get the demonstration of it, you see that power controlling in the universe. So who is a Guru? Who is Word made flesh? The Word is in Him and He is the Word. And who is following that path and teaches other paths the same, sit at the feet. So Master never said we are the Guru, we are the Guru. He simply said we are the messengers of God. Kabir said, I have come from the beyond, from the feet of the Master, from God, and I have brought a message for you. He wants each children, each child to come back home. These very words, Christ said, I came from the Father into the world. And again I leave the world and go to my Father. Are they not connected? Shamash Tabrez said, in his man body the Son of God is manifest. So Bulishar says, he took the form of a man and came here just to awaken the world. Children, you have been separated from God years back, you have not yet been back to your true home, come back. He sent us into the world. Someday we were in His lap. Ever since we have separated, we have been under the command of mind, and mind is under the command of outer faculties, and outer faculties have driven us like anything to the outer enjoyments. We are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. When God sees the plight of our plight like that, we are very unhappy. So He takes the manifest form of body, man body, and comes to open the door. Come on, go back home. So Kabir said, with the outer eyes, Ram, God, and Kabir appear to be two bodies. Only to those who have got no word made flesh to God. Who can take you to God? There are no brother, no sister, no parent. If he wants somebody guides back to God, it means he is he in there, you see. So for that reason the same Master always comes to guide us. This is, now remains what is function, as you say. Somebody asked you yesterday, what is the function of a Master? Namdev says that God has manifested in the body. Well, that very body is the God. Vaidyanathan, a great devotee of the tenth Guru, he annotates on a poem of Hafiz. Hafiz says, if you want to meet God, leave all house and home and the world and go to a wilderness. And Nandrab says, well, look here, here is God standing before you. Will you find this Guru? Why to go to the world if he's not here? He's here in everybody. Where his benefits, go to his feet. So God is great, you see. Maulana Rum says, he says, I'm so great that all my creation, all my universes that I created, they are not sufficient to contain me. I have love. He says, but strange now, I manifest the heart of a master. You want me, come out there. These are all things which go to show great is man. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is within me. The Father is within me and I am within the Father. This is quite so. How clear words he is in. So my purpose is to lay before you that who is the master? What is your function? They come to make people see who do not see, and those who see to make them blind. Then our attention will be down from outside, all is down. It is our attention that sees all these things. When you put your whole attention within you, which is dark, that light source. So Guru is the Shabda, is the word made flesh, and is a link between man and God, and this link of Shabda, light within you. Who can do that? He is God. He is called a master. The people do not understand what the scriptures say about a master. Just as without a pilot you cannot fly the aeroplane clear to 35,000 feet high. Without a guru you cannot fly beyond the physical body. It gives a demonstration of that. So what is the function of a master? Just to make you rise above body consciousness, give you contact with the light and sound principle of God. Nada, the voice of God, the music of the sphere. Where it will lead you, light and light will see where you are. And sound principle will be guiding you where to go. So Guru Nanak says, those who have got the perfect master, they are given the contour of the sound principle, which is the guiding principle. Where to go? You have a sound, you have some sound, and you naturally be drawn to the place from where that sound is coming. So this is direct way back to God. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga of the sound current. In this, no hypothesis is required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because it gives you contact with the light and sound principle which emanates from the absolute God. What does it say? In all of the yoga you have to have some hypothesis to make or draw inferences. So as such like persons, you know, call them by the name persons. One made flesh is born the same way as we are born, because there are only two eyes that we have got outside, two limbs, he walks like us. But he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, as Christ said. Akhand pujanti, pujantira, they also said, it is the bread of life that has come down from heaven, whosoever partakes of it shall have everlasting life. They give you the breath of life, the water of life, which is light and sound principle of the God into special power. You have physical food to make your body strong. You got learning, etc., to give you strength to the intellect. What food you give to your soul, which is conscious entity. So master comes here to give that water of life. that bread of life. Or when you get it, when you rise above body code.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of an evening talk given at the Unitarian Church on November 14, 1972 in San Francisco, California. Our reader tonight is Pradeep Sethi.
Good evening. We continue with the question and answer session from The Light of Kirpal. Spiritual Healing and Other Psychic Powers, February 20, 1971, Morning Darshan at Dehradun. Question, Master, can we affect each other in meditation if we are in a group meditation? For example, in sending thoughts of love to each other, will they be affected? Answer, do you have enough to spare to be distributed to the others? If you have, then it's all right. Otherwise, you will become bankrupt. You have no money in your bank or in your hand and you issue checks. If you love God, soul is of the same essence as that of God and He resides in every heart. Naturally, you will have love for everybody. If you have become very much charged, you need not even direct your attention. As by radiation, the others will have it. By exerting, you'll feel bankrupt and quite vacant. That is why I always say that I don't advocate healing. The people who are doing healing exert. They send love, they send good thoughts, healing thoughts. They become bankrupt and exhort in that way. They feel depleted. Then they have to recoup. The higher form of healing is always good. Those who may even think of Master can be healed. You remember during Christ's life, one lady touched the hem of his garment and was healed? He felt and said, "Who has touched me?" If you have money in your bank, well and good. If you have $1,000 and you give checks away for $2,000, what will happen? You follow? It is a good idea to have sympathy for all, but if you love God, God resides in them. Naturally, your love will go to them. Or by radiation, the others will have it. You may do one thing. You may pray God, O God, help others. That's something else. With the little money with you or little water in your tank, do you want to distribute it in that way? Do you follow what I'm saying? It is a good idea to have good sympathies, loving thoughts, regard for others. That's all right. But don't exert. You may have good thoughts for all. I told you the other day, when in my master's time I used to visit sick people, those who were not initiated made a show of those people. When he comes, the sick will be relieved. It did happen, so the people complained to my master that I'm showing miracles. So master said, no, he doesn't show miracles. It is the radiation that the people get. Do you follow me? Such like radiation is all right. To have good thoughts for everybody is a good idea. Pray God to give peace to all, that's another thing. And moreover, still further, Guru Nanak, who is considered to be word made flesh, prayed, "Peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O God." He did not exert himself. Peace be unto all the world under thy will, O God. Once you have become the doer, naturally you'll exert using that what you have. Under thy will, O God, is the best way. So, have good wishes for all. We are all brothers and sisters in God. But by radiation, that power helps and doesn't make you bankrupt. By exertion, naturally you can do good to others. After that, you'll feel exhausted. A higher form of healing is wanted. By radiation, let everybody be helped. If you have enough perfume within you, everybody will get it, without your wishing for it. So I'm not against good wishes for all the people over, but don't be the doer. Exerting your own shoulders with the little water you have, pray for them. That's all right. Question. Sometimes a healer says when he's exhausted, he gets refilled with new power afterwards. Master, only when they feel bankrupt. First, they feel wanting. Then, they refill, not before. And if they do not refill then, the masters used to heal by radiation always. Those who thought of him were healed. That's the safer way. Once someone wrote to me from France, I hear you are not in good health. I will heal you from here. I told him, you cannot do it. And I explained why. A weaker man will be affected by you, not a stronger man. You cannot influence one who is stronger than you. You follow me? How can you affect the man who is stronger than you? You may influence the weaker. You may heal others who are weaker in will than you. So I wrote to him and that he would not be able to do it. He tried with all his powers but could do nothing. You can say, oh Master, help her. Oh God, that's another thing. It once happened in my life that some people, I need not mention who, engaged certain people, giving them all the money they wanted to sit at midnight in the outer open places to do harm to me. It can be done, but their efforts did not affect me. Once I was traveling on a train, a man came up who was reading others' thoughts. He read 1, 2, 3, 4. I was also sitting in that compartment on the train. He told me to keep something in my mind and he would read it. You cannot do it, I told him. This was long, long before I met my master. But he insisted, and others who insisted that I keep something in my mind so that he could read it. All right, I agreed, do it. He tried, but he could not. He said, I failed today. So the stronger man can affect others, the weaker man cannot. On the weaker, you can have some effect. All the same, this is no spirituality. These supernatural powers come by concentration, but if you are engaged in them, your higher power is stopped. These supernatural powers are the slaves of concentration and meditation. That is not spirituality. Spirituality involves no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism, and no mesmerism. It is purely a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, to know oneself and to know God. On the way, many powers will come up, but to engage in them is a heinous crime. You'll retard your progress. Moreover, the karmic law is inexorable. You will have to suffer for it someday. People do every sort of thing. There was one man in London who could call the spirits and then they would talk. £5 was the cost of the admission ticket. A person said, all right, let us go and see, we'll pay. We went, all lights were turned off. It was about 9 or 10 at night. It was pitch dark. He wanted to exert, but nothing could be done. First, he sighs, then he sighs. And after about a half hour or so, nothing happened. Ultimately, he said, well, the atmosphere is not good, so I'm sorry, this cannot be done now. He did not charge us a fee. It can happen, surely. What was the trick? Now I will tell you. He could speak very like a child himself. So he used to speak himself, and people considered it to be a spirit. I have found that there is a black marketing outside, but there is more black marketing in religious circles. They act and pose. A magician came to a morning meditation sitting in Chicago during my first tour. He was a first-class magician from Europe, specially invited to America with the purpose to make me fail. He said, "You are going to give me a sitting. Am I permitted to sit?" "Yes, come on." I gave a sitting. He was sitting at the site, exerting all his work against me. Nothing happened, but he in return fell down, headlong, down, unconscious. They had to revive him in my arms, put him into bed and solace him. "Well, never mind. You will be all right. Don't worry." Reaction was there. When a wave comes and hits a stone wall, the wave will recede. If there is sand there, then that wave will permeate. So, as a reaction, he fell down unconscious. He was a follower of the other party, specially engaged for the purpose. I treated him, giving him medicine, so that he would be all right. Then he said to the whole gathering over there, "I have seen for the first time the love of Christ. What I was being told was all wrong." He passed away. His wife sends me letters even now. The spiritual people don't want all these things. What is joy of reading your minds, reading this and that thing and influencing others? What is there? Some contact with the lower groveling souls who have left the body? Little contact with the higher souls? This is only one side of the show. If you engage your attention thus, your further progress is retarded. So I have encountered all these things in India and outside of India. Nothing happened. My master was with me, of course. That power, God power, is with me. That is His grace. If He leaves me, I am nothing. I am Mr. Zero. I don't do anything. That is the safest way. It once so happened that a person, a homeopathic physician, came to India with his wife. He was initiated by our master. People tried to influence his wife to become initiated, but she would not agree. She was a follower of a guru from Europe. A person requested of me to kindly do something so that his wife might also be initiated. My master told me to take leave for 4 or 5 days and just give time to attend to her. I asked her husband to be present when I spoke to her. The very first question she asked me, "What brought you here to the master?" So I explained to her about 10 minutes why I had come. "Oh, that is exactly what I want." She then asked, "Why is it that your master does not appeal to me?" This was a very direct question. My previous guru used to influence me and I was affected by him. She continued, "I told her to look at me for 2 or 3 minutes and then asked if she could say other than what I wanted her to say. No, she said, that is why your guru has influenced you. You could not say anything other than what he wanted you to say. My master does not influence anybody. He leaves it to your goodwill, free will, and pleasure to find what is what." She did not know English. She was French speaking. "All right, if you don't follow the talk given by my master, just simply look at him sweetly, attentively, nothing more, and then let me know what you find." She sat in on the talk, and in the evening I asked her, "Well, how did you find my master?" "Oh, he was very attractive, very beautiful. By radiation, these things are affected not by directing your will." I told her that was why my master did not influence her. He leaves everybody to his own free will and pleasure. If I hypnotize you people, then you'll go and you will feel bankrupt. You may have something for a few minutes, but then you would be bankrupt. Then, I've had many chances like that in my life. So that is why I say there is a black market outside, but there's no black market within. This lady was initiated, and I get letters from her even now. Her husband is also initiated. I always accompanied him when he came to my master, but after that he was misled and did not like his wife to write to me. During my last world tour, I wrote a letter to his wife saying I was going to be passing her way and she might find time to see me. The letter was put aside by her husband. He did not give it to her until after the plane was to leave. But the plane was 3-4 hours delayed. 3 hours after the appointed departure time, he said, "Here's a letter for you." When she saw the letter, "Oh, the plane, he's left," she ran to the airport anyhow. It so happened the plane was not in order. I was staying in a hotel nearby, and at 11 in the evening, she met me there. So God helps, even though the whole world may be against you. That plane was put in order, but when we reached Cairo, it was again quite out of order. After some time, they said it was now in order. "All right," I asked the pilot, "are you sure it is in order?" "Yes, it is all right now." We left Cairo, and on the way, about 200-300 miles distance, one propeller failed. There was danger. If we could return to Cairo within 20 minutes, we would be saved. The plane turned wrong, but while returning, the other propeller failed, and the plane came down from about 2,000 feet all at once. In brackets, a disciple with the party related that soon after boarding the plane, Master assumed a crouching position with his knees to his chest and appeared to be in deep meditation. They said, "We were very fortunate to have landed safely." So, it is God who helps, you see. If you have become His, He has to look after you. You have to simply surrender to Him. That's all. Surrender does not cost you anything, does it? But it is very difficult. To give money is all right. To give away your everything is all right. Hearth, home, everything. To give away your mind leaves nothing short. You have been put on the way to the best that I know or what the scriptures say. You are fortunate. Go on with it. So the master power takes care. You have everything. Just turn within. My eldest son fell sick. The doctor told me to take 3 days leave as he would definitely die. All right, I took leave. Within these 3 days, I was ordered by my master to go somewhere to give a talk at Amritsar. Sunday was one of those days, and I thought the doctor said he would die, and you go there. Now, life and death are not in my hands. So, I went to Amritsar and gave a talk. It was about 1 or 2 on a summer day. Then I thought, since Bias, where my master lived, was quite close, why should I not have a visit? So I went. I reached there about 2 o'clock. Master was upstairs. He sent for me. "Come up. What about your child?" I never mentioned anything. So he was sick. The doctor said he was dangerously sick. Master was lying down. He sat up. I asked, "Master, whoever thinks of you has no burden. Why are you so sad? You've just thrown your burden on me." So I took it. "So my son never died. He'll take care of you. You need not pray. He knows." So Master Power is always at work. This is wonderful. It is a great blessing to have a living Master. So Master is not a physical body, but the God in him. When he sees it is he who is doing, then how can he claim anything? So go on with your meditations regularly, leaving everything to Him. Only live by what He says. That's all. There may be 4 or 5 children of a father. If one simply leaves everything to the father, not asking Him for anything or demanding anything of Him, simply leaving everything to His will, what does the father do? He gives all the keys to Him. Next chapter, Prevention is Better Than Cure, February 19, 1971. The initiates seem to be less thoughtful than they should be at all at times. If you are in the kitchen cooking something, they come, they look, what's that, can I have some? Well, you have just what you want for yourself, you know. I'm willing to share, very happy, but I don't like to be asked all the time. This can be avoided if the kitchen is properly kept. Let one or two prepare the food, finish it. Let each man have his own share and take the food which has been prepared. Question. It isn't only that. It's many things. Master, I think it is better to avoid all these things. Tasting, chatting, looking here, there. Question. It's the thoughtlessness that always causes my mind to work. For example, porridge is brought in the morning, and if you don't hurry, you don't get any because somebody has eaten a lot or more than his share. And the point being, when I see it, it causes ill feeling in me. And I know it's the mind working on them and the negative power. Master, I tell you, the best thing is to let the food be prepared at one place. One or two people attend to it. Finalize. For cleaning utensils, each man may do his own portion. Finish off. Let him have his share, whatever he likes. No hard and fast rule. More or less, let him eat and enjoy. That's all. While eating, be fully at eating. Be thankful. Do one thing at a time. If while eating you are chatting here, there, looking at this or that, smiling here at this or that thing, this naturally gives vent to so many things. Question. But still, shouldn't I have a reaction of love and not of ill feelings when something like this happens? In other words, if they don't change, I should change? Master, there is a proverb, prevention is better than cure. It is not so. When you get a disease, you have to cure it. It is better to prevent it at the very source from whence the whole trouble arises. And moreover, do one thing at a time. Eat fully. Be thankful to God. And that very food will give you more strength. In 6 months, you'll change. If your thought is somewhere else, you will be gulping down everything. You see? Now, 100 sit down to be fed here. I give them 3-4 chapatis each. To a child, I give 2. Finish off. If they want any more, let them have it. Finish. All right, go enjoy. If one is eating, he doesn't look at the plate of any other. If they want more, they can have more. I don't have anybody give me trouble, and I have 100 people like that. Would that not be nice? So, prevention is better than cure, you see. Is it not so? So, many are here, 2-3 people who know how can prepare, then let each man have his share. One or two who work may not eat then, but later when the others are through, each man should clean his own portion accordingly. Then you won't throw a burden on others. Sometimes people go on talking, long talks, you see, lounging, right, left, etc. And when they return to their rooms, they leave all their plates dirty. Therefore, putting their burden on others, there cannot be any definite rules laid out for this. Just common sense. If each man has his own share, let his whole attention be there, enjoying, thanking God, and eating. Then, when he leaves, let him clear his own dishes. That's common sense. One or two may help if it is required, without asking. Let each think to keep utensils clean. Also, keep the kitchen clean. And for that, I don't know if any hard and fast rules should be laid out. Common sense. I think this will remedy much of the trouble. Yes? The trouble within me is what I'm trying to cure. I follow what you are saying completely, and that's good. But now, in other situations, for example, my house is a big house, And many initiates have said to me, can I come and live with you? Now, I don't want anyone to live with me. When they ask me, I don't want to say no. I don't want to refuse if they need. Master, why not give them separate rooms? Then you will have little or no concern. To live together does not mean talking, sitting, idling away time and wasting the other man's time. All right, have your own room. Don't disturb me. I won't disturb you. Question, but is it better not to give if it's given begrudgingly than to give? Master, look here. How many friends can you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, or 100? If a man is a friend to 100, he's a friend to nobody. Have very few give and take friends. Give and take should not be businesslike. What should you do when you give? Give finally. Don't think of return. That's the proper way. Now, you give in a business way, and the whole thing is topsy-turvy. I go to visit you, then you come to me, then again I repay, and you again come. This is chatting, wasting time, in trifling things. Not doing this will save your time. Will not? We idle away time in many ways in such like trifling things. What I am teaching you requires no hard and fast rule or anything laid down in books. It's common sense. If, for instance, you are very studious, you want to study, and a man who stays with you says, well, what are you doing? What is all this? How about this? Every man should mind his own business. Even if somebody comes and he has reason to stay, let him stay, but let him also have his own room. He should not sit on your brain all the time there, you see? Question, I'm sorry, my mind is so dense, but for example, when I drive people to satsang, then there are some who are very difficult. Like an older lady is not quite right, and so she will impose on me to take her home first. She won't ride with this one and all that sort of thing. That makes a lot of problem for me. Master, look here. Look here. The main thing, Kabir says, if you go to meet a saint, don't take anybody with you. When you go to meet a saint, don't take anybody with you. Just rush in. You reach, everybody should try to reach satsang, but you are not responsible for everybody. If convenient, you may take one or two, you see? Question, I thought I have a car and they don't, so I should share. Master, that comes with that very question of give and take. You say somebody is not well, to help them is all right. That's another thing you do in your routine life. But why be wasting some time here there? When you go to pick up someone, you will have to wait. All right, coming, I'm just doing this, just wait a minute, and then I'm sorry I'm late. Time is wasted, is it not? Saying they are sorry or being sorry, let him be quite ready at the door when you arrive. That's the remedy. Or you will have, just wait, I'm just in the bathroom. Then you cannot leave him or her, and if you do leave him, it reflects badly. So those who want to go accompany you should be ready, each man at his door. And that brings me to the end of my time. I will stop here. I started with reading the question and answer session from Light of Kripal, titled Spiritual Healing and Other Psychic Powers, and then moved on to the next chapter, Prevention is Better than Cure. With Master's grace, we would continue reading from this point next time. Thank you everybody for your patience listening, and thank you Master for bringing us all together.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 59 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us to your satsang to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So, what to do then? What he says, live up. And you'll find the truth. The truth which is clothed in light. The truth which is the symphonies of the music of false harmonies. Which is the outer aspect of the God-directing power which is called Word, and Word was made flesh and dwelt among them.